My name is Amy Jo Secker, and I'm going to share my story with you tonight. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." As a child, this was my favorite verse. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was in elementary school and felt my heart drawn toward the Lord while at that young age. Even before my parents came to know the Lord, I attended a local church with my friends. In junior high, my parents divorced, and as an only child, this transition was especially difficult for me. I spent a lot of time involved with my youth group in Christian school, looking forward to all of the great things that God had in store for me. Plugged into a campus ministry in college, I continued to pursue a relationship with Christ. After college, I moved to the Dallas area to teach high school Spanish. I soon met Danny, a kind, generous man who loved the outdoors, and to my surprise, introduced me to fly fishing, hunting, and camo. We married 1.5 years later when I was 32. Our marriage was far from perfect, but we were both happy and growing in our relationship. 1.5 years after we married, we had our first son, Levi, and I left teaching to stay home with him. After his delivery, I struggled with postpartum depression, and it took me a while to get into the groove of motherhood. Danny, on the other hand, was a natural. He and Levi bonded quickly, and a new side of Danny came out as he devoted time and attention to our son. It was amazing to see. Growing up as a child who longed for siblings, I began to talk about expanding our family. It took us a bit longer the second time, and after one miscarriage, we were surprised to find out that I was pregnant with twins. After the shock passed, soon fear crept into my heart. Would I be able to handle two babies? Would our babies be healthy? I left every ultrasound in tears, grateful for good news. I had a strong sense of what I could and couldn't handle, and I preferred to have life figured out. How I would manage being a mom and wife, how I would get things done while caring for two babies. I wanted to feel in control and that I could rely on myself rather than others or even God. I had a great pregnancy, and at the end of 37.5 weeks, delivered Owen in Georgia. The first few months were crazy, but with medication, I avoided the depression that crippled me after giving birth to Levi. Again, Danny rose to the task, eager to help with all of the new demands on us. Levi had the normal adjustment period to new siblings, but by Christmas, we were all used to one another and loved our family of five. I clearly remember having a conversation with Danny after Christmas, telling him that I had my life figured out. I knew how I could organize my time so that I would be able to do all of the things that I needed to as a wife and mom, and I had decided which hobbies I was going to invest myself in. I felt on top of things, in control, and really happy. I relied heavily on my own ability to work hard, prepare good meals, engage my children in meaningful activities, and have time with my friends. While I loved the Lord and we went to church off and on, I didn't trust the Lord in the way I had when I was younger. This would soon change. On January 3rd of 2012, we had an ordinary night. Danny came home from work and played with the kids while I cooked dinner. After dinner, he bathed the kids, put the twins to bed, and then we had a pillow fight with Levi. After Levi was in bed, Danny went for a walk and came home early, complaining of back pain. This wasn't unusual since Danny had some back problems. We spent the evening curled up on the couch, watching the Iowa caucus returns. It was a great ordinary night. I was tired around 10 p.m. and went to bed. Danny was more of a night owl, so he frequently stayed up late. Around 1 in the morning, I woke up and noticed that Danny wasn't in bed. I went to the living room and found him lying on the floor. My first thought was, "Gee, Danny, why in the world would you fall asleep there?" Then I understood. I flipped him over, and when I couldn't wake him, I called 911 and started CPR. I will never forget that phone call and the feeling of trying to resuscitate my sweet husband. After a few minutes, I was really taking it all in, and I was fairly certain that he was dead. The paramedics and fire department came to my house, and I immediately went to another room, telling them that I needed to pray. I sat in a spot where I could see his legs, and I prayed that God would breathe life into my dear husband. Some neighbors came over to stay with my children, all of whom were miraculously still asleep, and their son drove me to the hospital where Danny's mom and sister met me. They put us in a tiny room and soon after came in and said that they had tried all they could, but that he was gone. Even now, those words sound so strange to me. How could my healthy 41-year-old husband be dead? How could I be a 36-year-old widow with a 3.5-year-old son and 4-month-old twins? I was completely overwhelmed with sorrow and despair and can remember thinking that my life was over. but I'm a mom, and so on my way home from the hospital at 3 a.m, began calling people who could advise me on how I was going to tell sweet little Levi that his daddy was gone. It was bad enough for me to deal with it, but to have to break the news to my son, who adored his father, was unbearable. When I walked through the door of my house, my neighbors were there to hug and pray for me. After they left, I noticed my Bible lying open to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I couldn't begin to imagine that God knew that this is what my future held. I couldn't understand why he would allow me to have such young babies if they wouldn't even know their dad. I truly felt like my life was over, but as someone raised in the Word, I felt a strong conviction that I needed to guard my heart. I asked a friend to make me a CD with worship music, and this became my lifeline to God, praying these songs of faith and hope to him in the car and in my bed at night. Suddenly, I needed God in a way that I never had before. It is amazing to me, and I'm so grateful that this promise is true. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In this horrific time of my life, I could sense God's presence, even in the crippling pain of grief. The next week was a blur of activity, making decisions, taking care of my children, and trying to begin to accept the help of others that I so desperately needed. One gift came in a friend's offer to move in with me. Here was my beautiful single girlfriend giving up her cute apartment to sleep on a day bed in my house. I was amazed as she got up every morning with me to feed the babies and then help me get everyone fed and to bed at night. Levi's grief manifested as anger towards me, and it was so helpful to have another adult with me as my patience was tried every day in new ways. Family, friends, and strangers reached out to me with meals for 6 months, playdates for Levi, and even a calendar where people signed up to come over at night and help me with laundry, dishes, and cleaning. I remember the first night that a friend of mine from playgroup came over. It felt so awkward, and I was so embarrassed as she was folding mounds of clothes and then asked where to take out my trash. Here I was, an independent woman who had friends over to sweep my floors. Slowly, I learned to allow them to help me. Their support and kindness encouraged me in ways that I couldn't imagine. Seeing so many faces at Danny's service, watching my neighbors take care of my lawn, opening my front door and receiving a meal from a stranger who had heard about our situation, friends that would send me encouraging scriptures during the day. And for Valentine's Day, two girlfriends who gave up their nights with their husbands to help me through my really first difficult holiday. Another friend came over that day with a big basket full of gift cards, books, little gifts that she had collected from a couple dozen of my friends. That basket sat in my room for over a year, and I felt their love and encouragement every time I saw it. And a few days after he died, a babysitter who pulled out her camera phone, encouraging me to take pictures of my babies eating their first bites of rice cereal. Being in pictures with my children was the last thing on my mind, but I was later so grateful that she helped me to celebrate the special moments in their lives, even in the midst of my pain. A few months after Danny died, I started going to church again. My dear friend who lived with me offered to go to her church at a different time so that she could help me take my three kids to Watermark. The first time was really difficult, and I'm pretty sure I said the words, "I need a margarita," before we left the sanctuary. Danny and I had attended Watermark for a couple of years off and on, and it was painful to be there without him. Death is a common theme in the Bible. Jesus dying for us, dying to self, people being raised from the dead. There were services when I walked out, unable to keep myself together, but I continued. If I knew anything, it was that I needed God and that my relationship with him was the only thing keeping me afloat. I continued to read scripture, pray, surround myself with only people that would lift me up, and listen to those sweet songs sent to me by my friend. In the fall of 2012, I attended Grief Share. It was just what I needed. I had spent time searching the internet to find blogs or sites on young widows and was sorely disappointed in what I found. I needed to see the face of someone like me who had come through it, and that's what I found here. Women who shared with me the greatest pain of their lives and listened as I struggled with questions about mine. Was it normal to think about Danny all the time? What do I do with my wedding ring? Who do I think, or why do I think that more bad things will happen to me? And then that verse popped up again, Jeremiah 29:11. I wanted to vomit when I heard it. I just couldn't believe that God had anything good for my life. I felt as if it were completely over, that I would just get through the next 18 years of raising my kids and hope that I'd make it. You see, I was trying to figure it out on my own. There wasn't any joy in my life. I was spending all of my time with my children and was so incredibly lonely. Several people at various times shared Psalm 139:16 with me. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This was another verse that was difficult to swallow, but God was beginning to show me that he wasn't surprised by anything that had happened and that he was in control. He knew that Danny would die at the age of 41, and there was nothing that I could have done to change that. The last session of that grief share semester was the hardest for me. While the course was over, I felt as if my grief was just beginning, and I was so scared of what lay ahead for me and what walking through grief would be like. By this time, my friend had moved out, and it was just me and my three kids. I was so tired and struggled with managing everything. Not to mention, when was I supposed to take the time to really grieve? By the time that the kids were in bed and I had done the chores around the house, I was exhausted. So in the spring, I signed up for Grief Share again. Same material, but different faces and perspectives. It was really good for me, and I could begin to see God's hand more clearly in my life. I was able to make a few changes, and I felt a new closeness toward my children, and even strength to go to a single parent class at church, and then courage to join a community group for single women. I took the advice presented in this course. I leaned into my grief, sometimes in the car, crying behind my sunglasses, other times in the grocery store, trying to decide if I should continue to buy the bread that Danny liked or if I should get a different kind. I focused on truth, reminding myself of God's promises and continued to guard my heart. I did the next thing. On days when I felt completely overwhelmed and incompetent to manage, I focused on the mundane and simply what needed to be done next. I used to tell Danny that I was so glad that he didn't travel for work because I couldn't imagine being away from him for several days at a time on a regular basis. Now it's 2.5 years since my sweet husband passed away. We went on our first family vacation this summer, and the twins just celebrated their third birthday. But one thing I'm not trying to do anymore is to figure it out. The truth is that I can't. My life often feels too much for me, the weight of responsibility too heavy. So I think about 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I've served for 2 semesters in Grief Share and have been so proud of the women that have shared their struggle every week in our group and the steps that they have made to work through the grief. They encouraged one another as well as me. I so wish that grief were something that you and I could race through or that we would know when it would be over, but that's not how it works. However, I pray that you and I would both believe and begin to experience the truth of this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Thank you.